All right, we're beginning here on the two dots at the top of Daled Amud Aleph. The Gemara here is continuing to discuss what we saw yesterday that Rabbi Yochanan brought Mishum. We have it in our Girsas, Mishum Rabbi Yossi Aglili, the alternate Girsas, Mishum Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, but the principle that Kol Lo Tasesh B'Torah Asabo Maseh Lokeh. If you have any negative precept, if you violate it by actively doing something, then you get Malkot. If you are Lo Asabo Maseh, if there is a violation passively, then there aren't no Malkot. Chutz, the exceptions were, Minishba, Meimar, Umikalel, Chavero, B'Shem. That's what we already discussed yesterday. We went through each part of this statement or this Braita and discussed why that was the case. What we're going to do today is Mishum, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina, Amru, Afa Makdim, Truma, LeBikurim. This is also true by being Makdim, Truma, LeBikurim. The normal order of being Mafrish items from your produce is that you take off the Bikurim first, then you take off Truma Gdola, then you take off Maaser Rishon, then you take off Maaser Sheni, and in the years when there's no Maaser Sheni, it's Maaser Ani, then it would be Maaser Ani instead of Maaser Sheni. So that's the order in which you take them off. And Rabbi Yossi but Rabbi Chanina says that if you change that order of the Truma and the Bikurim, you're also what it seems like from the Braita, Chayav in Malkot. And so now the Gemara says, Mishum, Rabbi Yossi but Rabbi Chanina Amru, Afa Magdim Truma the Bikurim, my time of Rabbi Yossi but Rabbi Chanina. What's his reasoning? Amar Kra, the pasuk says, Mileatcha v'dimacha lo te'acher. Milea elu bikurim v'dimacha elu truma. So we are going to say that the milea is a reference to the bikurim. We'll discuss why in a second. V'dimacha is a reference to the truma. V'amra, and it says lo te'acher. Do not delay it. Do not change the order. Mileatcha bikurim go first. Then dimacha goes. Lo te'acher. Do not make the milea go after the dim'a. So that's the reason that he thinks that there should be Malkot over here, because there's a lav associated with this issue of changing the order of Truma and Bikurim. At least for now, the assumption is that the Bikurim and the Truma were taken off through Kriyat Shem. So this is something where there's no Maisa involved. And yet there's Malkot and there's a lav that's associated with it, which is Lo Te'acher. Now, as far as why Mleya is a reference to Bikurim and Dim'a is a reference to Truma, Rashi over here says, bikurim leya, mishum de, whether it's the altar or the lachar shenit mal'aha tvua, benigmira melachta ukva the bikurim. After it reaches full maturity, after it's ripened completely. And Rashi mentions gemar malacha, which is really not something that is necessary by bikurim, ukva the bikurim. And whereas dim'a is a reference to truma, the fishim et dam'at. Because truma, when mixed together with chulin, causes dimua, volai bechad memeya, and then it has to be batel only with 100 to 1. So mapik lakro b'lashon dimua. That's why the Torah called it dimua. So Rashi claims that the malaya is from the status of the fruit or produce where it reaches full maturity. That's when you're chayav in bikurim. It also mentions gemar malacha, which is not necessary by bikurim. Dimacha is a reference to truma because truma creates dimua. You can see in the Balei Tosafot, they quote Rashi, and it says, V'lo nihira, so it doesn't make any sense. Sheri ze enu ela midrabanan. This idea of dimua is only midrabanan. That could be for one of two reasons. Either the 100 to 1 that Rashi mentions is only a din derabonan. Yes, as a smachta bekra, it has a reference in the Pasuk, but the fact that you have to be mivatel truma with 100 to 1 is a din derabonan. Midoraita it's batel berov. The truth is that that could be the answer to Tosafot's question, which is yes, 100 to 1 is a din derabonan, but still rove is a problem, and truma is midameya with chulin. The other possible way to read the Tosafot is harizeno and midrabanan is the word dimua. The term dimua being used for a mixture of truma and chulin is only a rabbinic terminology, and therefore it doesn't make sense that the Torah is using such a terminology. So Tosafot is not so enamored with Rashi's explanation of dim'a, and then he brings Rav Moshe Mipontaiza, perish the kach kare the truma dema, vishno heged belach, because when it comes to truma, it is applicable both to yavesh and to lach. On the other hand, bikurim eno elo biyavesh. On the other hand, bikurim only applies by yavesh. So he says the malaya refers to the bikurim, are things that are in their full maturity, in their full state, not in a liquid state, whereas dimua are things that also come in not just a dry state, but also come in a liquid state. And that's why it's a reference to Truma. That's the view of the Rav Moshe Mipontaiza. If you look in the Rabbeinu Gershom, He brings a different reason. He says that Mleyatcha Elu Bikurim Shnotnim Min Hamleya Komar Bitchila Sheadayin Hakol Malei. When you take off Bikurim is when everything is still intact. Mleya, everything is there at that point in time because this is the first thing you're going to take off. Shloni Tala Dain Mimena Klum. Nothing's been taken off of it, so Mleya means literally Mleya. You have the full produce in front of you. Dimacha Zetchuma Shnidla Mina Dimua. That's already from something that is mixed. Because as far as Bikurim is concerned, this is no longer a problem. It's Chulin of Bikurim, but it still is Medumat, or it still has a Tevel, the Truma. And that's why it's called Dimua. So that's the view of the Rabbeinu Gershom as to why Mleya is a reference to Bikurim. That's because it's taken off the whole item. Whereas Dimua is a reference to Truma because you have a mixture of items that have already been cleared for the Tevel of Bikurim, but they still have the problem of the Tevel of Truma, and that's why it's called Dimua. The Sfat Emet actually has a very interesting explanation over here of Mleya versus Dimua with regards to Truma, and that is because the nature of Bikurim. Bikurim have to be taken from the first fruits that really ripen or mature within the person's orchard or in the person's field. And so therefore, Mle'a is a reference to something that is in particular chosen from amongst other things. You have to pick the Mle'a. You have to pick the best and the ones that are fullest and ripest from amongst the others. That is not true by Truma. By Truma, it's a mixture of everything. There's no particular item that has to be taken off. You have to take off 2% or whatever amount you're going to take off, whether it's 1/40th, 1/60th, or even if it's chita achat poterta kri, whatever you take off is in a sense random because you can take it from anything in the pool of that which is there. And that's why he calls it dimacha. Everything mixed together, you take off the truma from. Bikurim, on the other hand, are mleya. You have to take off from the fullest, the best of those items, the first of those items. And that's an interesting idea that the Sfat Emet says is why it's called mleya versus Dim'a. But what you see from this is the fact that it's called Mle'a is a reference to the Bikurim. Dim'a is a reference to Truma. And the Pasuk says, Lo Te'acher. And since it says there's a lav there of Lo Te'acher, you're Chayav Malkot for that. So Itmar, the Gemara says, and it brings a Machloket Amuraim over here, which is Higdim Truma the Bikurim. If you took off Truma before Bikurim, Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina, Chadamar Loke, V'chadamar enu loke. One says you are loke, the other one says you are not loke. Mar says, tistayim. Let us conclude the Rabbi Yossi Rav Chanina who damar loke. It's pretty straightforward. It should be Rabbi Yossi Rav Chanina who says you get makot, midamar Rabbi Yossi Rav Chanina. That is the quote that we just had from what we brought before. Afa makdim trumah bikurim. That's also included in those items that get makot. Mar says, adrabo. Maybe we should think the other way. It's time to Rabbi Elazar who? Let's say that it is Rabbi Elazar who says that you get Makot. Is it Tanan? We have a Mishnah in Demai. Hayu lefanav shtei kalkalot shel tevel. He has two baskets full of tevel in front of him. Amar maser shel zo bizo. So then he says that the maser from the first one is found in the second one. Now, here there's a question about whether the girsa should say arishana meuseret. Many just leave that out and just say mi'useret. It works. Rashi over here has the girsa rishona mi'useret, but you'll see in a second why it may not be necessary. On the other hand, if he says shelzo bizo, v'shelzo bizo, if he says that the first one's masrot are found in number two, and number two's masrot are found in number one, rishona mi'useret v'ashnia enu mi'useret. So here it's important to say harishona mi'useret, because that's as opposed to the second one, which is Eina Me'useret. The first time you had it, there was only one item that had the Masrot taken off of it. So it's obvious that it's a Rishona, that's Me'useret. And therefore I should just say Me'useret, or it needs to mean not saying anything at all. Now, there are a couple of things to discuss and to explain before we move on to the third case, which is the pivotal case over here, which is that in this case, it's talking about Maser. The question is, what happened to the Truma in this situation? So the Balei Tosafot say, look where the Mishnah's from. The Mishnah's from Demai. And in Demai, we have an assumption that Truma Gdola was taken off from it already. And that's why there's no discussion of Truma Gdola. They're discussing starting with Maser because we're dealing with Demai. That's one way to deal with it. The Rambam, on the other hand, just says it's a case where they already took off. They were mafrish the truma already, and these are items that are tevel the maaser. And that's why the discussion here is about the maasrot, because the truma wasn't a relevant factor. The other possibility is that we see that sometimes that the word maaser, or to take off maasrot, is used on a generic basis to reference to anything that needs to be taken off. That includes truma, that includes maaser, and so maybe truma is subsumed in this, and that's a possibility as well. Now, as far as the first case is very simple. You have basket one and basket two. And you say that I'm gonna have the trumot maasrot, if you think there's truma here, or the maaser rishon, the maaser sheni, from basket one be found in basket two. And the Mishnah says, it works. That's fine. You can be mafrish from one bucket of tevel on another bucket of tevel, because they're both chayavim in trumot or masrot or in masrot. And everyone, you're mafrish from the basket two on basket one, you are successful. It's so obvious that many of the Rishonim ask, what's the chiddush over here? Rashi al-Atar says here that the chiddush is that even if you're not mafrish it, even if you don't take it out of the basket number two, basket number one is already cleared. Afa gav dakati lo hifrish kalal. Even if you have not separated anything out, it is immediately basket number one is useret, and the masrot are found in basket number two. And you may even be able to eat from basket number two as long as you leave that at the end, that the masrot are left there. But you are successful at clearing basket number one. That's pretty straightforward. The second scenario is where he says, from basket number two, I want to be mafrish the masrot on basket number one. And then he says, for basket number two, I want the masrot to be in basket number one. Over there, the Mishnah says, you're successful in the first case, but not successful in the second case. That is because when you started out, both of them were tevel. So now you say that the items in the second basket are maser on the first basket. Well, they're both chayav and tevel. That means that they both are chiyuvim that allow you to take off masrot, and therefore you're successful taking off the masrot in the second basket for the benefit of the first basket, and now the first basket is mitukan. The problem now is in your second statement. In your second statement, the first basket, it's already chulin, the gamre. You already have trumot de masrot taken off of it. Now you could eat it, it's chulin. Now when you go and say about the second basket, I want the masrot for the second basket to be in the first basket, that's being mafrish mina patur ala chiyuv. You're trying to take off masrot from a basket that's chulin on a basket that is chayav in masrot, a basket that is tevel. And that you are unsuccessful at doing. And that's why it says here, when you say, Masrot shelzo, bezo, b'shelzo, bezo, harishunami useret, the first one you are successful at relieving of its tevel, because the masrot are found in number two, but basket number two, ainami useret, because you can't put the masrot of it in basket number one, because basket one is already not tevel anymore. It's not chayav in masrot, and therefore you can't be mafrish masrot from it. Now, if he does a third possibility, which is ma'asrotehem ma'aser kalkala b'chaverta. If he is saying that the masrot of each one of them is in the other, then kara et hashem. He was successful at doing it, and he creates the maser in each one of them. The meaning of kara et hashem is not exactly clear over here as to what that means. Does it mean that it just means that he's successful and he did whatever he intended to do? That's one possibility what kara et hashem is. The other possibility is that Karat Hashem, like Rashi said earlier, means that the simple Kriyat Hashem of the Maser over here is enough to allow you to eat from each one and have it be chulin. You don't actually have to physically separate it out before it is mutar. There is a more complex way of saying this, and it's found in the Gra on the Mishnah in Demai, which is Karat Hashem means that you've actually created a single entity over here, meaning that you've now made basket one and two into a single entity, and therefore you're successful at removing the masrot from each one of them on the other, because they become a single entity, and there's no one that goes before the other. They've now become an entity unto themselves. And therefore, according to the Rambam and the Bartanura and the Gra, it actually is so much so a single entity that you can take off the trumot masrot from whichever basket you choose on the grouping as a whole, or the unit as a whole now. The problem you have here, and this is what Tosi raises over here, is that generally we have a principle, kol she'en b'zeachazeh, enu b'vatachat. Anything that you can't do sequentially, you can't do simultaneously. So if you're unsuccessful at taking off masrot sequentially over here, you can only take off and successfully clear the first one, not the second one, then why, when you do it simultaneously, are you successful? So the answer might be, like those that suggest over here that Karat Hashem means that you've now combined them into a single unit. And since they are a single unit, then there's no problem of precedence of one before the other because you've really changed the dynamic of the case. The case is no longer two baskets. It is a single basket now that you have, and therefore there's no one before the other. It's not like the case of Zeh HaZeh. The other hand, the Baalei Tosafot don't say that. The Baalei Tosafot answer that they believe, came into Dati Litkunei Tarvayu, since he has intent to be metakein both of them, Haveki Omer B'maser Risho Rishona, Tei B'Shnia Chutz Miyud Shisharu Tevel B'Rishona. He's basically leaving Tevel in the first one that will cover the second one. Had he done that sequentially, it would have worked. I mean, had he sequentially said that I'm taking off Masrot for number one from basket number two, but I'm leaving in number one a little piece of Tevel, then when he went to basket number two and said my Maser is in basket one, that Tevel could have succeeded to be the Maser for basket number two. So since that would work sequentially, when he does it simultaneously, it's as if embedded in his statement is, I'm leaving the respective room I need in each basket to create the Masrot on the other basket. So there you are successful, and both of them are chulin, and you'll have to be mafrish, the masrot, from both baskets. So then, ve'itmar, or the way that the Shita Mikubetzet has the girsa in the Baalei Tosafot, the girsa says ve'itmar Allah. We have said on this by Rabbi Itmar Allah, Rabbi Elazar. Elazar says about this, lokeh, he gets malkot here, mipnei shiktim maiser sheni, sheba, lemaiser rishon, shebechaverta. Because he took off the maiser sheni of it, before he took the Maiser Rishon of its friend. Now, the reference over here, you can see this in the Rashi, the Rabbeinu Gershom, the Baalei Tosafot, is a reference to the earlier cases in the Mishnah. It's not the last case in the Mishnah where you're successful at taking off both of them, but rather it's a reference to the first two cases in the Mishnah where we said either that you're taking off the Masrot of basket number one from basket number two, that's all you did, or the case where you tried to take off not only the masrot in basket number two for basket number one, afterwards then you tried to take off the masrot from basket number two in basket number one. In both of those cases, you have a very interesting scenario, which is that basket number two is servicing basket number one before it takes care of itself, which means that you're going to take off now masrot, which means maaser rishon and maaser sheni from basket number two to service basket number one and to solve basket number one's problem, before you take off anything from basket number two. That means that for basket number two, Maaser Rishon and Maaser Sheni have been removed from it before you ever removed Maaser Rishon on itself. And that means that you've been makdim in basket number two, Maaser Sheni, before Maaser Rishon. And that's exactly what Rabbi Elazar is saying over here. Mivnei shikdim Maaser Sheni sheba, the Maaser Rishon shebechaverta. You are successful at taking off, or if you've taken off the Maaser Sheni sheba, for basket number one, before you took off the Maaser Rishon Shebechaverta, before you ever took off the Maaser Rishon for basket number two itself. And so you brought in Maaser Sheni before you brought in Maaser Rishon, and that putting Maaser Sheni before Maaser Rishon causes you now a problem that you're in violation of a lav, and that you get Malkot. That's what Rabbi Lazar says. Tosafot brings from Yushalmi that maybe there's an assay and a lav here, and it depends on which case you're speaking about, meaning even in the third case that we brought, there's a possibility that you could be in violation of bringing the Maaser Sheni before the Maaser Rishon. That's much more complex. The other possible way of explaining this, which is brought in the Shita Mikubetzet, is the fact that when you take off the Maaser Rishon, you've now taken off Maaser Rishon for the entire entity, and that which remains behind is Chulin LeMaaser Rishon. Then when you're mafish the Maaser Sheni, that Maaser Sheni does not need Maaser Rishon to be taken off of it because Maaser Rishon was already taken off from that entire entity over there. But that's because you're dealing with the same pile, or the Maaser Rishon is being mufrash on that item. The problem you have here is that you're not taking off the Maaser Rishon from basket one. You're taking Maaser Rishon for basket number one in basket number two. And then what you do is you take off Maaser Sheni for basket number one from basket number two. That Maaser Sheni in basket number two never had Maaser Rishon taken off of it, because all of basket number two was still Tevel. And all you did was take off Maaser Rishon for basket number one, and then you took off Maaser Sheni for basket number one. So that Maaser Sheni never had Maaser Rishon taken off before it was made into Maaser Sheni. assume both baskets have 100 in them. When you take off Mice to be shown from basket number 2 on basket number 1, you've taken off 10 from basket number 2. That 10 only covers basket number 1. Then when you take off 9 from basket number 2 for basket number 1, that also only covers basket number 1. That means the remaining 81 that are in basket number 2 are completely tevel. They had nothing taken off from them. And the Mice of Sheni you took off also had nothing taken off from it beforehand. And that's what the problem is here. You're taking off Maaser Sheni. Of the Maaser Sheni itself, before it had Maaser Rishon removed from it. So that's the other way to explain what the problem is over here. So one of those two is the problem that Rabbi Elazar raises. And therefore, you're Chayav Malkot. So therefore, Tistayim. You would come to the conclusion that it is clearly Rabbi Elazar who believes that you get Malkot over here. Now, there is the question, tell us what raises it already, which is, we have a pasuk that says, "Mleyatcha v'dimacha lo te'acher." So we have a law that tells you that you can't have truma before bikurim. But where do you ever find that there's any restriction against putting maaser sheni before maaser rishon? Tell us what it says over here. Afagav dekra lo kamayri elavim bikurim v'truma. Even though the pasuk is only talking about bikurim and truma, mirechti v'dimacha lo te'acher. You can read the pasuk as not mleyatcha v'dimacha lo te'acher, you could just read it as dimacha lo te'acher. So therefore, the dimacha is a reference to a broader swath of items. Kosheishno bichlal dimua lo te'acher. Anything that's subject to dimua, you cannot delay or you cannot make it out of order. Mefereish time of Mishnayot, and he quotes the Mishnah in Trumot that tells you yukdumu bikurim lechuma mishum diikre bikurim vechuma lemaser rishon mishum diikru truma. So each of these items has some terminology that is associated with it that makes it sound like it's earlier than the other ones. And based on that, there is a hierarchy or an order that's created over here. And there is dimacha, which is a reference to anything that causes a problem if it's mixed together or causes a problem if it's not taken off because it is tevel. So that's the way that Tosafot explains it. Rashi, at the bottom here, brings a totally different drasha from the Michilta that explains what the order of the items is here. And again, Tosafot acknowledges that's not what he's bringing from the Mishnah in Trumot, but rather a totally different limud. But that limud also does the same thing, which is that it opens up the possibility that Mleyatcha v'dimacha are speaking about a broader category of items. And that is, Lishna achrina dashina Michilta, diyuktimu bikurim l'truma, mishum de bikurim, Kamire, Ditla Dalid Shemot. It is called four different things in the Torah. It's called Reshit, it's called Mleya, it's called Truma, and it's called Bikurim. Truma in Laela Shlosha Shemot. Truma only has three names in the Torah. Reshit, Vidima, Utruma. Viyuktum Truma the Maaser Rishon, Shenola Bet Shemot. Truma only has two names to it. Maser, Vitrumat Maser. Viyuktum Nami Maaser Rishon, Ditle Bet Shemot, the Maaser Sheni, Deinola Shemachad, Kugon Maaser Sheni, or Maser. So that's what it means. Tamalomar mleyatcha v'dimacha da'akulu kamishtai. It's going on all of them. D'chamur shbehen lo yacher ela makdima chamur lekal. So then mleya and dima are reference to chamur and kal. And what it's saying is, don't change the order. If it has a hierarchy, that hierarchy is important. Don't take them out of order. So either because of what the Michilta says, or because the way Tosafot brings it from the Mishnah in Trumot, there we see that this has broader application than just bikurim and truma. And therefore, Rabbi Elazar believes that there is such a violation in the Mishnah in Demai. And that's why he says you're going to get Malkot for your successful taking off of Masrot in that Mishnah in Demai, at least the first two cases. You will get Malkot for that. And that's because you're Maktim, Maaser Sheni, the Maaser Rishon. That means that the Itmar, where we had the Machlok between Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina before, one says Lokeh, one says you don't get Lokeh with regards to being Maktim, Truma Bikurim, it's clear that Rabbi Elazar believes that you get Malkot. But now we have a problem. El Rabbi Yossi b'Rabbi Chanina, damar eno lokeh, lemakasho. In Rabbi Yossi b'Rabbi Chanina. That's because Rabbi Yossi b'Rabbi Chanina over here is saying eno lokeh. And Rabbi Yossi b'Rabbi Chanina before, when he told us that when you have a lav shein bo masa, you get malkot, that's even true by mleyatcha v'dimacha lo te'acher, when you're makdim b'truma the bikurim. The Gemara says, lo, it's not a problem. Rabbi Yossi b'Rabbi Chanina, abtura koi. When Rabbi Yossi b'Rabbi Chanina said his statement, he was going on the exemption part of the statement, V'hachi kamar, and this is what he meant to say. Lav shein bo maseh, ain lokim alav. That any lav shein bo maseh, you don't get makot in it. Mishum Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina amru, afa makdim truma lebikurim. Also, if you're makdim truma lebikurim, you don't get makot. That's what his addition was. His addition was on the latter part of the statement, which says that there are certain lav shein bo maseh that you get makot on, including nishba l'sheker, mimar, and mikalav chavero b'shem. There's also another one, which is Maktim Trumah LeBikurim. That's not what he's referencing. He's referencing the earlier statement, which says that Kol Lav Shein Bo Maseh Ein Lokim Alav. And he says, I'll give you another example of that. But then you have to ask, why in particular did he have to delineate this item and say to you that it doesn't get Malkot? Meaning that every item that's a Lav Shein Bo Maseh doesn't get Malkot. Why in particular did he have to mention this item? And that's what the Gemara says here. Umayishna Meimar Delaki Mishum Diburo Asa Maseh. Why is it that by Tmura you get Malkot, even though it's a Lav Shein Bo Maseh? We saw yesterday's daf that Rabbi Yochanan said is because his Dibur creates an effect, a halachic impact, that when he verbalizes that which he wants to do, there's an impact in the fact that the Chulin turns into Kodesh. Over here too, Maktim Truma LeBikurim, Nami Leukei Mishum Dibiduro Asa Maseh. Over here, you are successful. When you take off the Truma before the Bikurim, you are successful at being Mafrish Truma. You're also successful at being Mafrish the Bikurim. You've just done something wrong. This is no different than the Tmura case, where you do something that's wrong, but it is efficacious in terms of its halachic impact. And similarly over here, your Dibur has halachic impact. You are changing something from Chulin into Kodesh. Why shouldn't it be that you get Malkot here as well? So Amar Rabbi Avin, Shani Hotam, Delav Shinetak La'aseihu. Because over there, by the case of Bikurim and Truma, it is a lav adnitak laaseh. Dichtiv, because the pasuk says in Bamidbar Yudchet, mikol matnotechem tarimu et kol trumat Hashem, mikol chelbo et mikdasho mimenu, that there is a requirement to take off Truma. Now, this is a very interesting lav hanitak laaseh. Because if you think about a lav hanitak laaseh in a classic sense, we can give you examples of that. Tosfot himself brings you examples of that, which is a classic example of that is a case of notar. Like we said yesterday, where you have something that's not allowed to be left over, and it says, lo totiru mimenu ad boker, but tar mimenu ad boker be'esh yisrofu, so that if you leave it over, then you have to burn it. So the assay over there comes to rectify the thing that you did wrong. The thing that you did wrong is you left it over. Now I have a way to rectify that which you did wrong, which is that you now are sorefit. You burn it. This lava nitak the assay seems to be very different than that. Over here, and as Tosfot's going to point this out as well, the assay precedes the lav itself. The requirement to take off the matanot, the requirement to be mafrish, the truma, predates any isur that you did. There's a requirement when it's tevel to be mafrish these items. And so the assay is not really a lav that triggers the assay. It's not an assay that is a derivative of the lav that allows for kaparo, removal of the lav. But rather, it's an assay, or more likely, or the better way to express it is to say, it's just the result of this lav. The lav is that you may not do this, but the result is, or the Torah tells you that even though you're not supposed to do this, the result is efficacious, or whatever you did works. And that's all it is. It's not really a lav anitak de assay. So Tosafot is really faced with this issue and wants to understand what it means over here that this is a lav anitak de assay. And that's only more enhanced by the next question of the Gemara, which is, Yati Rabdimi Vikamar Laha Laha Shmaitata. He said over all of this that we just said, Amalebai, V'chol lav shnitak de assay lo loki? Is it really true that a lav anitak de assay doesn't get malkot? V'havei meimar. What about tmura? The lav shnitak de assayhu? It's a lav anitak de assay. V'loki. And it gets malkot. And how do I know that meimar is a lav anitak de assayhu v'loki? It's not lo shadam rashay laamir elashim imir mumar sofeget arba'im, which is our Mishnah. So here again, you have a similar problem, which is that he's calling something a lav anitak de assay that does not look like a classic lav anitak de assay. By tmura, it tells you don't be meimar. If you are meimar, then it's kodesh. That's not an assay. You're not doing anything to rectify what you did wrong. There's just a result of what happened. The result of what you did is now that there is tmura, and both animals are kadosh. This is not your classic lav anitak de assay. So now the problem is, what is Rabbi thinking? Rabbi is saying, oh, lav anitak de assay get malkot? What about all those things in the Torah that we know are lavani takdaseh and they're no malkot, like shiluach hakein, like notar? There are things that are straightforward in the Torah where we know there are lavani takdaseh and there is no malkot associated with them, gzeilah as well. So Tosafot has two-part question. One is Abaye, what's he thinking that lavani takdaseh doesn't get malkot? That's number one. Number two is, what is the lavani takdaseh that we're speaking about here? Tosafot doesn't ask that question directly, but indirectly he has to address that issue, which is, how do you have a lavani takdaseh over here with regards to both tmura and with regards to being makdim, the truma, the bikurim? Neither of those sound like your classic case of lavani takdaseh. So Tosafot over here asks the question, and in answering it, he begins the process of giving an answer to both of those questions. Which is, Tosafot says, when we're ready to push it later, Abaye, Bishluach HaKein, Vinotar, Vones, by those cases where we're classic cases of Lavani Taklaseh, everybody thinks, and Abaye agrees, that there's no Malkot over there. Why? The Smicha Asei they do, Alav de Lo Loki. So he says that the Asei comes right after the Lav. You have the negative precept, and then you have the Asei immediately afterwards. So it's very clear that the assay is coming to teach you that you don't get malkot, but rather there's a rectification and assay that comes afterwards. Ela shayat mi'a alav de maser de lo samech mikol matnechem tarimu tumat Hashem. The problem is by kol matnechem tarimu et kol tumat Hashem mikol chabot mikdashom mimenu. There, that's found nowhere near the lav of mleatcha v'dimatcha lo te'acher, which is found in Parshat Mishpatim. And now you're quoting me something from Parshat Korach. So the assay is nowhere near the lav. And that's where he says, I don't know then if that is a lav and a takdaseh. Can you call something where the assay is totally separated from the lav? Can you call that a lav and takdaseh? Umshum hachi porich. And that's his question. Because tmura, what about tmura? Now tmura, the assay is found immediately after the lav. It says, lo yachlifenu, lo yamir oto. And then it says, him yamir, yamir oto, hu utmurato yakodesh. The assay is right there. So then what's his question about tmura? But he says, Miu, midamem milta le milta. Even though there it's right juxtaposed to it, nevertheless, tichi hechi degabi tmura loki, v'lav ani takdaseh mishum, de'enu mikayem aseh biyadayim. So here, Tosafot starts to acknowledge that these aren't classic cases of lav ani takdaseh. Tmura is not a lav ani takdaseh where you do a maaseh biyadayim afterwards as an assay to rectify the situation. It's simply an outcome. It's the result of what you did. So therefore, that subpar type of lavani takdaseh, hachinami hayal meimar mikol masrutechem or matnurechem tarimu afagav de mekayim aseh biyadayim. Even though there you mekayim aseh biyadayim, miu came to lo somech lo yanam lechazdiko the lavani takdaseh. Or in essence, what Tosafot is saying is that both of these are subpar types of lavani takdaseh. The problem by tmura is that there's no rectification, there's no maaseh biyadayim. The truth is that's true also by the case of truma as well, but Tosafot says the bigger problem with Tumah is the fact that their assay is nowhere near the lav. And so given that information, now you have two subpars lav and itak the assays, and maybe when you're a subpar lav and itak the assay, there is malkot. And that's the question of Abaye, and that's why he's challenging the suggestion over here that the lav and itak assay should somehow relieve you of the problem of mayatcha v'dimacha lo te'acher. Now, Tosafot acknowledges that his shita here is not such a great shita. He says, what about gzeila? Gzeila, you have a din of lo tigzol, and then you have a requirement, v'shivat gzeila asher gazal, and they're nowhere near each other. Not the gzeila or lo tigzol is not next to v'shivat gzeila asher gazal. So he says, oh, don't worry about there. There it's obvious that it's a lavani takdaseh, because you can't be v'shivat gzeila asher gazal, elim ken gazal. You can't return gzeila unless you have stolen. There it's obvious that the two are connected, even though they're not juxtaposed to each other in the Torah. Nevertheless, it's an obvious connection, or it's so clear that the two are connected, because the Yeshivat HaGzeilah Gazal tells you that embedded in the Hashava is the fact that you stole, and that it was Lo Tigzol, and that's why it's still called Elav Hanitak Le'aseh. Whereas the case of Masrot, Tosafot acknowledges, you're able to accomplish the Aseh, even if you never violate the Lav. The pasuk of Mikomat Ochem Tarima Chkon Trumat Hashem is true even if you take Bikurim off first and then you take off the Truma, that assay still applies. So the assay is clearly not triggered by the lav. So Tosafot's acknowledging that there are a bunch of deficits here in the lav and itak the assay that we're speaking about here, and therefore there is a correlation between Tmura and the Masrot, or the delay of the Bikurim after the Truma, because both of them are subpar Lavanitak Le'aseis, and because there is subpar Lavanitak Le'asei, there's reason to believe that maybe they should get Malkot over here, or reason to believe that the Asei is not really rectifying the Lav. That's either because the Asei is not found with the Lav, that's because the Asei exists independent of the Lav, that's because the Maaseh or the Asei doesn't require a Maaseh B'Yadayim. All of these are reasons to believe that there should be Malkot over here, or the fact that the Lav Anitak Le'Asei is not successful at removing the Malkot. Now, in terms of your classic understanding of Lav Anitak Le'Asei, we say that an Asei comes to be Mechaper for the Lav. And since you have an Asei that's Mechaper for the Lav, that's why you don't get Malkot. That traditional explanation is not going to work in our Gemara, because both by Tmura and by the case of Melech Chavdi Mechalot Acher, there's no Maaseh that you're doing to rectify the Lav. In both cases, the Lav is what generates the Asei, or the Asei is accomplished at the time of the Lav. It's not a rectification. So then you have to say that the reason that Lav Anitak Le'Asei is Patur is because of the juxtaposition of Lo Tachsom Shor B'Disho to the Din of Malkot in Sefer Devarim, in Parsha Ki Teitzeh. That juxtaposition teaches us that only things that are Dome the Lav, the Lo Tachsom, have a Din of Malkot. And just like the Din of Lo Tachsom is a Lav by itself, but has no other Asei or has nothing else associated with it, that's one that gets Malkot. Any Lav that doesn't look like the Lav of Lo Tachsom may not be subject to Malkot. And that's why you might call Tmura, or you might call Moyad Chavdi Mecha Lo Tacher, the cases of a Lav and Itak Le'asei, because they're not Dome to the Din of Lo Tachsom, or they're not Dome to the Lav of Lo Tachsom. So at least in that way, they could be that they're called a Lav and Itak Le'asei, not necessarily because they're classic Lav and Itak Le'aseis, but because they just don't conform to your standard form of Lav. And since they don't conform to that, maybe they don't get Malkot. Abaye is saying, well, maybe these aren't classic cases of Lav Anitak Le'Asei, and therefore, maybe you should get Malkot because of that, because they are subpar forms of Lav Anitak Le'Asei. So now the Gemara answers, Havalu Trei Lave, V'Chadasei, V'Lo'atei Chadasei, V'Akar Trei Lave. This goes back to the Tosafot we discussed on the Mishnah itself, where now you have Tmura, Lo Yamir Oto V'Lo Yachlifenu. So you have two Lavin, both Lo Yamir and Lo Yachlifenu. And you only have one Asei, which is Im Hemir Yamir, Hu Tmurato Ye Kodesh. So then you have one Asei and Trei Lave, and that is not able to overcome, or the Asei is not powerful enough to be a rectification for both of the Lavim. Now, Tosafot back on the Mishnah used this as a basis to say that if you violate Tmura, that you're actually chayav 80 malkot. Because here the Gemara says there are two lavin that are associated with Tmura. And so if that's the case, then if you violate it, you should be chayav 80 malkot. Tosafot then brought a second daya over there on the Mishnah that maybe lo yachlifenu v'lo yamirto refer to different types of violations. One where you do the Tmura on your own animal, one where you do the Tmura on someone else's animal. And that's why you have different lavin here, and you wouldn't get 80, you'd only get 40. But there's still two lavin that are only covered by a single assay, and that single assay is not going to be strong enough, or is not enough to overcome the fact that you have two lavin over here, and that's why you're going to get arbaim, that's why you're going to get 40 malkot. Although Tosafot in other places in Shas does limit this to the fact that it has to be two lavin that are adjacent to each other, number one, and number two is it has to be an assay where you're not doing any maisa. But if it's an assay where you're doing a maisa, then even that assay can rectify more than one lav. They thought to make a suggestion over here that we have this by other cases where you have a assay doche lota assay. We have a principle that an assay cannot be doche a lota assay an assay. It can't be doche a lota assay, but it can't be doche a lota assay an assay. So the question is, why is that, or what's the problem? So the two possible ways to formulate it, and the truth is that both of those formulations might work here as well, which is that the reason that an assay can't be doche a lota assay an assay is because the assay tells you that the lav is a much stronger lav. It's not a typical lav because there's an assay associated with it. Therefore, an assay is not strong enough to overcome that lav because that lav is backed up by an assay. That's one way to formulate it. The other way to formulate it is to say it is successful. The assay is docha the lota assay. The only problem is you still have an assay left. After the assay is docha the lota assay, you still have a restriction of an assay that's left. And I think you could say the same thing over here. When you say they're trei lavi and chad assay, there can be formulated in both ways. The fact that there are two lavin tells you that the assay can't be the rectification of it because it's just too powerful. There's two lavin over here. That means that the assay is not going to be successful at overcoming it or being mechaper for it or being mitak the assay. The other possibility is it's a lav and itak the assay, but it only clears one of the lavin. It doesn't clear the second lav. And so you're still left with one lav, which is the problem. But obviously the nafkamina between those two reasons would be how many malkot you would get in this case. Meaning that in one reason you would get 80 malkot, and the other reason you would only get 40 malkot. But you could, I think, formulate it in either one of those ways. So that's what the Gemara says here. You have a trei lavi, you chada save, loati, chada save, akar trei lavi. It cannot rectify, it cannot fix the problem. It could be for one of the two reasons that we just explained. Where it says, is that really true? Very ones, the chadav, v'chadase. A case of ones, where a person rapes a woman. This is a single woman that he rapes. The requirement then is that he marry her, and he's not allowed to divorce her for the rest of her life. So over there, you have a chadav. The lav is lo yuchal l'sholcha kol yomav. He's not allowed to divorce, he's not allowed to send her away. V'chadase, the chase is that she has to be his wife. Lo tiyel isha. And she has to be his wife forever. So now you have an assay and a lav. So you're telling me that when you have two lav in an assay, no lav and itak l'assay. But if it was one lav and one assay, then you would have a lav and itak l'assay. V'lo ati chad assay v'akar lav. And even though over there there's only one lav and one assay, the assay is unsuccessful at causing the lav to be nakar, or to call it a lav and itak l'assay. Titania, because you have a breita. Ones, she gireish a ones, a rapist that divorces the woman that he had to marry. Im Israel who, if he is Israel, machzir vein lokeh. He takes her back and he doesn't get malkot. Im kohenu lokeh vein machzir. He's a kohen, he's going to get malkot and he can't take her back. So the Gemara's assumption here is that even though you have a lav and an assay over here, the assay is not successful at removing the lav and the kohen gets malkot. The Gemara answers, that's not really a big question. Because Kohanim, Taima Achrino, the Rabbi Rachmana, Kedusha Yetera. So Kohanim, it's a totally different reason, is because they are Mar Kadosh. And that's the answer. So again, here, there are numerous explanations of this Gemara. Rashi brings two, Beinu Gersh, and then the Ri brings what I think is maybe the simplest explanation over here, which is that Viri Perish, Kevin Sha'asara Katuv Grusha, the Gabayu, Enu Tak Alav, the Asay. It's very simple. The problem of Kohen is that it's not called Alav and Itak Asay anymore. He doesn't have the assay. The fact that he has a restriction against marrying a grusha now prevents him from being to use the assay. So for him, it's not a lav hanitak the assay. The lav here is that he's not allowed to send her away. The assay is that he has to keep her as a wife. So if he divorces her, if he's Israel, he can take her back. And it's a lav hanitak the assay because he did the lav, which is lo yuchal l'shalcha, but he can rectify it by taking it back. Velo tiyel isha. So if he takes her back, he's rectified whatever he did wrong. The Kohen is precluded from doing that. He can't exercise the right with regards to that assay. Since he can't exercise that right with regards to the assay, he doesn't have a lav and he talked the assay. All he has is a lav, and for that reason, he's chayav malkot. Because the havamin of the Gemara is, and you can see that in the Tosfot before, which is, Alma itacha lav shenitak lemitzato, amrina nitak kulo. That when you have a lav and he talked the assay, even though only a part of it is called the lav and he talked the assay, it's entirely that way, very ones. The lav didei, Nidak legabe Israel. By Israel, it's a lav and itak the assay. The law amrina, did itak legabe kohen. But we don't say it's a lav and itak the assay by a kohen. Alma de hecha did itak mixato, lo nitak kulon. And therefore, you just see, just because there's an assay for a part of it, doesn't mean that there's an assay that can rectify all of it. And when you say, mikol matnudechem tarimo, that's only talking about bakhtamat shumada maser, even though it's called a lav and itak the assay, for Hakdamat Bikurim as well. Nevertheless, it's still called Lav and Itak Asay, even though the Asay is a reference to Masrot and Truma, it's still considered to be a Lav and Itak Asay for Bikurim and Truma. That tells you when you have an Asay for a portion of the Lav, that's enough to make it the whole thing into a Lav and Itak Asay. So when you say Milad Chavit Demachalo Ta'acher, that includes both doing Bikurim after Truma, also doing Truma after Maser. Now, only one of those two situations has an assay. That's Mikoma Tlechem Tarimu Truma. That's only the Truma and Maser side has an assay. Nevertheless, we call it a Lav and Itak assay, and it still rectifies the problem of Mleatcha B'dimacha with regards to Bikurim and Truma. So now, by Ones, I have the same setup, which is, I have an Yisrael and a Kohen. One of them has an assay that rectifies, one doesn't. But the whole thing should be called a Lav and Itak assay. And it doesn't work. So why doesn't it work? The answer is Kohen Shiny. Problem is not that it's a Lavani Yatase b'miksato. There is no Lavani Takase for the Kohen. He's totally precluded from the Parsha because the Asay has no application to him whatsoever because he's not allowed to marry a Grusha. That's the way the Balei Tosafot explain it. That's the simplest way to explain it. Rashi brings two explanations over here. Both of them are very difficult to understand. He says the first of which is, V'kevin dechamir kedushatayu. Hechmir alayu tvei meYisrael delilke. Afilu alav shiitak leasei afagav diYisrael loloki. It's an amazing statement. The Kohanim are held to a higher threshold, a higher standard of kedusha. Therefore, we say that even though Yisrael won't get malkot for alav shiitak leasei, Kohanim will get a malkot for alav shiitak leasei. It's an incredible statement. It defies the simplicity of what the Gemara is saying, like the Rishi says, which is that the Kohanim just can't do the assay. Ben Rashi is saying over here, the Kohanim really do have a lav and itak assay, but they're more kadosh, and therefore they're going to get malkot, even though it's a lav and itak assay. That's the first explanation he brings. Lishnar chrinam ishani ki parich, vari meymar shiny hotam, dahachi loke mishum davi meymar lav shishaveh bakol. Rashi brings a totally different girsa in the Gemara, and he says that when we asked before by meymar, we said that Meymar gets Malkot. And then the Gemara answered, Shani Hocha, because it's Trei Lave Vase. Rashi brings a different girsa and says, Shani Hotam Da Hachi Loke. The reason you get Malkot by Meymar is, the Mishum Davi Meymar Lav Shishave Bakol. It's a Lav that applies to everyone, but it's an Assay that does not apply to everyone. The Lav applies to everyone. That is because anyone can make Temura and be in violation of the Lav. That includes a Yachid and a Tzibur. That includes anybody who does Temura. On the other hand, the successful making of Tmura into something that's Kadosh only applies to Yechidim. Does not apply to Shutafim, does not apply to a Tzibur. Even though they violate the Lav, they don't create the Assay. So the Lav is a Shaveh Bakol, the Assay is not Shaveh Bakol. So you have a strong Lav and a weak Assay. That's why it's not a Lav and Itak the Assay, because the Lav's too strong for the Assay to deal with it. That's the problem over here. Then the Gemara brings the question with regards to Ones. Ones, you have what seemingly is a similar problem, which is there you have a lav that is not Shaveh Lakol, but you have a assay that is Shaveh Lakol. Everybody has to, under the rubric, or everybody is under the requirement of Lo Tiyah Le'isha, everybody has to take this woman as a wife. Lo Yuchal L'Shalcha is only applicable to Yisrael, because Lo Yuchal L'Shalcha, because he can take her back. For the Kohen, Lo Yuchal L'Shalcha is not relevant, because he can't send her away, because he can't take her back. So therefore, Lo Yuchal L'Shalcha is not a lav that's associated with him. Therefore, the Gemara says, now you have a lav that is weak, and an assay that's strong. And yet, you still get malkot over here. Why is it that you're getting malkot if the lav is weak and the assay is strong? You told me that the relative relationship between them is what creates the malkot over here, or the lack of malkot. Here you have a strong assay, a weak lav, there should be no malkot. And the Gemara answer is that shiny kohanim, that they are of a different status, and therefore, even though you have a weak lav over here, nevertheless, the Kohanim are held to a higher standard, and they're going to be penalized for the lav, even though it's a weak lav, and it's a strong assay. Alternate view that Rashi brings over here is also found in the Rabbeinu Gershom. It's a very difficult explanation, that second explanation, Rashi, including the fact that the lav doesn't apply to the Kohanim, and the assay applies to everybody. It's a very difficult explanation. And it's just the opposite of what Rashi said in the first explanation. All right, now the Gemara moves on and says, to Kitanai A, this is like a machloket Tanaim, with regards to lav she'en bo maseh. Lo yashiru mimenu ad boker. With regards to the notar, it says do not leave it over until the morning. In all likelihood, the girsa should be lo totiru mimenu ad boker. Bakatuv litein asei achar lo taaseh. Lomar, she'en lokim alav divi Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says it's a lav anitak de'aseh. It says don't leave it over. If you do leave it over, you gotta burn it. So that's what the Torah is telling you, this is a lav and itak d'aseh, that's why you don't get malkot. Rabbi Yaakov Omer, lo min hashem, who's there? That's not the reason you don't get malkot over here. Al mishum dava lav shem bo maseh. The reason you don't get malkot over here is because it's a passive violation of a lav. Kol lav shem bo maseh, ain lo klein alav. And you don't get malkot on it. Miklau, and the conclusion from this is, the Rabbi Yehuda savar lo klein alav. Which is, we do know, and we saw earlier already, the Rabbi Yehuda's position is that lav shem bo maseh, you do get malkot on it. Therefore, he needs lav and itak d'aseh to say you don't get malkot over here. As Rabbi Yaakov says that it is a lav shem bo maseh. Now, the truth is that this is a little bit difficult to bring it over here, because the Amoraim dealt with it earlier with regards to whether there is malkot for lav shem bo maseh or not. And now, way later in the sugya, bringing in the Tanaim, to say, oh, it's a machloket tanaim, as to whether lav shein bo maaseh gets makot or not. So that's difficult that we're explaining it that way. On the other hand, the suggestion that it's a continuation of the sugya that we're in, that's a reference to lav anitak de'asei, then the statement of the Gemara that michlau, that Rabbi Yehuda believes that lav shein bo maaseh lokin alav, really has no relevance to our sugya whatsoever, because the whole question of the sugya is about lav anitak de'asei, whether it gets malkot or doesn't get malkot. And you can see that in Oud Yud Bet in the Shita Mekubetzet, where he says to take out this piece about Michlau de Rabbi Yehuda from the Girsa, because according to the Rabbeinu Tam and similarly Rashi, that the machloket here is about lav anitak de'asei, then that statement about Rabbi Yehuda is meaningless. Whereas according to the Balei Tosafot, that's exactly what the machloket is about over here, and therefore it's important or makes sense that they're saying what the position of Rabbi Yehuda is vis-a-vis lav shein bo maaseh. Although it's possible that that statement of the Gemara is telling us that the fact that Rabbi Yehuda says lav anitak de'asei en lokin alav is because he clearly believes that had it been a lav shein bo maaseh alone, it would have gotten malkot, and that's why he clearly believes that lav anitak de'asei there is no malkot, implying that Rabbi Yaakov, who says that the reason that you don't get malkot here is a lav shein bo maaseh, he doesn't necessarily agree with the lav anitak de'asei tour that Rabbi Yehuda is suggesting. And therefore now you have a machloket tanaim, where Rabbi Yaakov says that lav anitak de'asei does get malkot, whereas Rabbi Yehuda says that it doesn't get the malkot. For Rabbi Yaakov, v'hai notar mimenu ad boker be'esh tisrofu l'mayato. What does he need that for? What is the point of v'hai notar mimenu ad boker be'esh tisrofu? What's that coming for? Now, the truth is, what do you mean, what's that coming for? He's telling you what you need to do. What do you mean, what's it coming for? So tell us what says over here, v'yesh lamar, dina mismichut kaparich. This is the Tosfot, the Shita told before, which is, why does it have to write it right after the Lo Totir Mimenu Bad Boker? From writing it right after Lo Totir Mimenu Bad Boker, it seems to be that it's doing more than simply telling you what to do. It seems to be that it's somehow negating or doing something with the lav. So that's what the Gemara is asking over here. According to Rabbi Yaakov, what's the point of having Totir Mimenu Bad Boker Beish Tisrofu right afterwards? Mibayole the Ketanan, we need it for the Mishnah. Hatzamot, Vagidim, Vanutar. Yisrafu b'shisha asayz with the korban of Pesach, the bones and the sinews, and that which is left over, we burnt on the 16th. Chal shisha asayz liot b'shabbat, if the 16th is on Shabbat, yisrafu b'shivasar, then they're burnt on the 17th. V'shein tochin lo'at ha-shabbat, lo'at ha-yom tov. That's because they're not tochin Shabbat, and they're not tochin yom tov. Amar chizkiah, v'chein ta'an ad-debei chizkiah, we know from chizkiah and the Beit Midrash of chizkiah, my taima, what's the reason? Amar kra, v'noter mimenu ad boker b'esh tisrofu. Comes to teach you that there's a second morning to its burning, which is that the pasuk says lo tutur mimenu ad boker. That's one. Then it says vanotar mimenu ad boker ba'ish tisrofu. Why do you have to tell me anotar mimenu ad boker ba'ish tisrofu? You already told me that. It says lo tutur mimenu ad boker. You could have just written vanotar ba'ish tisrofu. What is ad boker again? That's to teach you that there's a second boker. That means when you bring the korban of Pesach on the 14th and eat it the night of the 15th. You cannot burn it of the notar on the morning of the 15th. You have to wait a boker sheni. You have to wear another boker until the morning of the 16th. And only on the morning of the 16th are you allowed to burn it. Why is that? Because the 15th is Yom Tov. That means if the 16th is Shabbat, if you can't burn it on Yom Tov, you certainly can't burn it on Shabbat. And you have to wait till the Sunday, which is the 17th, in order to burn it. So that's what Rabbi Yaakov does with Notar Mimenu Ad Boker Ba'esh Tisrofu. So now here's the Machloket Abai Rava, which we're going to start now. And then we're going to continue with it in tomorrow's daf. We'll begin it today, which is the statement, Amar Abaye, Komilta, Dama Rachmano, Lo Tavid. Anything the Torah says don't do, Imavid, Mahani. If you do it, you're successful at doing it, but you're just going to get penalized for doing it. The Torah says don't do it, you do it, you're successful, it's efficacious what you did, you're just going to be penalized for that. Disakadatska lo Mahani, because if you're unsuccessful at doing anything, am I lucky? Then why don't you get malkot? I mean, it seems to me that the malkot are for the fact that you successfully violated that which the Torah precluded you from doing. Rava amar lo mani mide. Anything you try to do against the Torah, if the Torah says you can't do it, it means you can't do it, and the Torah forfeits your right from doing it, and you don't accomplish anything. Vahida loki. So then why do you get malkot? Mishum davara, memre derachmanu. The Torah told you not to do it. So even though you're unsuccessful at doing the maaseh, nevertheless, the Torah said, don't do it, and you tried to violate that precept of the Torah. Zemeiteve, ones shigiresh, a rapist that divorces his wife. Im Yisrael machzir ve'en lokeh. is Israel, then he's Machzir Grushato, and he doesn't get Malkot. V'amart, Kevin de Avar, a Memra de Rachmano Loki. So then, if you're telling me the whole reason that you get Malkot is because you violated the word of the Torah, Hanami Lilke, why doesn't he get Malkot over here? Now, according to Abaye, I understand why you don't get Malkot over here. Because according to Abaye, it's only if you're successful at doing what the Torah says that you shouldn't do, then you get Malkot. Over here, you're not successful because you can return the woman. You can take her back. So even though you were Megaresher, you're not really Lo Yuchal L'Shalcha Kol Yamav. You can't send her away forever, so you haven't done that. You still have the ability to take her back, and you haven't violated the law of sending her away forever because you can take her back. So according to Bai, you haven't violated the precept of the Torah yet. That's why you don't get Malkot. For Rava, you are unsuccessful. You can't send her away, but you did what the Torah told you not to do, and you sent her away. So why don't you get Malkot? Yuv to the Rava. That's a strong refutation of Rava's position. And Tosfot points out here that the Havamino of the Gemara is, the reason you don't get Malkot here by the case of Unes, it's not because it's a Lav and Itak Dasei, and Shum Deloma Hanya Girushin. It's because your Girushin are unsuccessful, that Sarich Achzira, because he is required and joined to take her back. And that's the question that's being asked over here, which is that according to Rava, if the Gerushin are a violation of what the Torah prescribes, then why shouldn't he get Malkot? But then Tosafot says, wait a minute. If the Gerushin are unsuccessful, that means that when he divorces her, if another man sleeps with her, he should be Chayav Reishadish. Or, when the Kohen divorces her, why can't he take her back? His Gerushin were unsuccessful. If that's the case, then there was no Gerushin over here. So Tosafot in the end says, you have to say that Gerushin are Itkish the Mita. Divorce is similar to the death of the husband. And just like the death of the husband releases the woman, so too Gerushin released this woman from being an Eshet Ish, even though generally when you go against the precepts of the Torah, it doesn't work. Over here, Gerushin have a special standing because of their connection to Mita. So then, if that's the case, then you are successful at creating the Gerushin. The reason it doesn't work or you're not successful is because you're not allowed to send her away or divorce her forever because he has to bring her back. Velo sekadate, and the Gemara has yet to now come to the conclusion, the choyamav avi nituk, mishum davi lav shikad moaseh. The Gemara here still doesn't think that this is a lav anitak daseh, because the Gemara views aseh over here as being something that preceded the lav. And since the aseh preceded the lav, you can't call it a lav anitak the aseh. And for that reason now, this is the question on Rava. The Gerushin are successful to the point where she's no longer an Eshadish, and a Kohen can't be Makzir. They're not really successful because he has a requirement to take her back. And that's what it means that they're unsuccessful over here. That's why according to Abaye, you don't get Malkot. And according to Rava, you should get Malkot because you did what the Torah told you not to do even though you were unsuccessful. Amar lecha Rava, shani otam. Rava says it's different over there. Damakra, ko yamav. It says, lo yuchal l'shalcha, ko yamav. Entire life. Ko yamav ba'amud ve'echzir. That all of your lifetime, you still have this possibility of taking her back. You're only in violation of lo yuchal l'shalcha if you do it for kol yamav. That means that the violation has a tail to it. The violation only happens if you divorce her permanently. Well, we won't know you divorce her permanently until one of the two of them passes away. Then you know he did it permanently. But before that point in time, they haven't violated the law because you never accomplished kol yamav as long as at any point there you take her back. And Tosfot points out the answer is to what Rava says over here, that kol yamav is bamud v'achzer kai. Vavinituk gamur. Ve'en ze lav shekad moaseh. It's not a case of a lav shekad moaseh, but kol yamav indicates that there is a special essay that is connected to the violation of the lav, which is lo yichol l'shalcha. Kol yamav tells you that kol yamav bamud v'achzer. That means that there's an essay particularly associated with the violation of the lav, that anytime you violate the lav, you have to take it back. And therefore now it's a classic case of lav anitak de'aseh. And that's why you don't get Malkot over here. And Tosfot goes on to explain why Kol Yamav tips the scale in the favor of saying that it's a lav anitak de'aseh. Because he says over here, Shmamina, dit l'nituk the lav katvei d'zeh klau. Kohecha de'ish hochacha b'kra. Anytime there's evidence in the pasuk that se kaya achar lav, that the aseh has application after the lav, ein zeh lav shekad mo'aseh. That's not a lav that the aseh already preceded it or existed before it. Aba milot yel isha, had it simply been lo tiel isha, below kol yamav, without that lo avidayik le benituk, then you wouldn't have assumed that it was nituk laseh, or lo tiel isha, mari below shiluach. That's a requirement even when you don't say it away. So, lo yuchal l'shalcha kol yamav, That adds on this additional feature that connects it directly to the lav and says that there is a particular assay associated with the lav. That's what makes it into a lav and itak the assay, and not simply an assay that preceded the lav. Ulabaye, ilav damar rachmana koyamav, havamina isurahu davadle, ibailahadir, ibailolahadir. So what does it mean, lo yuchal de sholcha koyamav? You would have thought that he has a choice. He can take his options. He has to take her as a wife, and then the Torah says, lo yuchal de sholcha. Had it not written koyamav, then you would have said, lo yuchal de sholcha means he can't send her. But if he chooses to, he could send her away. He has an option. Either keep her for the rest of his life, or send her away and take the malkot. He might feel it's better to take the malkot than send her away. It's up to him which way he wants to go. So Kol Yamav comes to teach you that even if you're shalcha, and if you would get malkot for that, which you don't, because it's a lav and he talked that say here, but even if you were to say that he was in violation, lo yuchal shalcha, since it says Kol Yamav, that means that you still have a requirement your entire life to return this woman. Even though you could have chosen to take the punishment and just send her away, that's not the outcome that is afforded to you. You only have one choice, and that's to take her back. So had it not written Koyamav, you could have said it's a choice. The guy can decide. He wants the punishment, he divorced the woman. He doesn't want the punishment, he has to keep her. On the other hand, once you say Koyamav, that says even if you divorce her, that's not an option that's given to you to divorce her. Koyamav, Amod Bech there. You have to bring her back. You have a requirement to have her lo tiye li'isha. That's how Rova gets out of this tiyufta. But it's also how Abai explains why you need Kol Yamav over here. Now, tomorrow we'll have a Lishna Achrina that goes in the opposite direction, bringing it as a question on Abai rather than a question on Rova. We're going to stop here by the two dots on the top of Hey Amud Aleph.